We are going through the book of Matthew here at Belmont, so go ahead and turn in your copy of the scriptures to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 14. While you're doing that, I'm going to remind us that the last time we gathered together, we saw there at the beginning, or at the end of Matthew 11, and remember these chapter breaks and verses were not original, so this was all one long text, and so that break wasn't actually originally there. So we left off with Jesus saying something like this: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because, hey, guess what? My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so we saw this invitation from the king to receive the rest that he has to offer, to be able to be yoked up to him and to allow him to carry the weight that, you know, he's called us to and the ministry that he's called us to. And it's no accident, of course, then that we go into these next 14 verses where Jesus is talking about and dealing with and in deep discussions with, you might say, with the Pharisees. And this is really the number one thing that Jesus gets into arguments with the Pharisees about. It's about the Sabbath. It's about Shabbat. It's about their view on what Sabbath is about and the rules or what it's lawful to do on that day. And Jesus just pushes into that time and time again with them. And we see two really cool examples here in this passage where Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field and they get hungry. So his disciples are just doing something pretty simple, right? They're picking off the heads of grain, and the Pharisees would say, well, that's harvesting. Then they're, you know, processing it in their palms, separating the wheat and the chaff, and then they're eating, and it's like, oh, you broke the Sabbath. And so they were looking for ways to accuse them, and Sabbath was one of the premier deals that the Pharisees held on to, and they had built these laws around the law that were just a bunch of minutia that it was hard to even keep up with, much less actually observe. And so the Pharisees prided themselves on those things. And then it seems, the way that Matthew tells it, that they walked in out of the grain field and walked into the local synagogue. And there the Pharisees accused Jesus again, or they set him up for accusation, because there was a guy there with a withered hand. And they knew, like, well, Jesus is probably going to heal this guy, right? And, you know, it's not a bad thing to be, people go, you know what, there's somebody hurting, I bet you're going to help them. That's the kind of reputation we should have, right, as believers. But they saw it as an opportunity to set Jesus up for an accusation, to say, if you heal this guy, then you're actually breaking the Sabbath, because the rules that they had written stated that if somebody was dying, you could help them to the point where they would survive till the next day when Sabbath was over. Then you could help them go to restoration. And Jesus is just going, you guys have totally missed the point of Sabbath. And so let's do this. We're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 14. If you're taking notes, the title of our talk tonight is Remember the Sabbath. All right, remember the Sabbath. And we're going to do this. We're going to read together. We got a small group tonight. So you can read from the screen, read from your Bible. Tim's going to start us out. We worked that out ahead of time. And thank you, Tim. So just read 1, 2, 3 verses and then hold off, and then somebody else just popcorn in, and we'll do this Bible study together.
At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain into him. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only priests.
Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. So if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion, not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent."
The Sabbath Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him.
He said to them, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.
Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was cured, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him.
Yeah, good deal. So tonight, the title of our message is Remember the Sabbath. And so we're going to spend some time remembering what it means to Sabbath. And we want to take a step back from that and remember to do that well. And so we're going to look at it. I mean, there's just so much in here. We're not going to be able to cover all of the goodness that's in this passage tonight. But I'm just going to give us 3 points. Number one is this. The Sabbath reminds us of our source. The Sabbath reminds us of our source. The next two are the Sabbath reminds us of our sustainer, and the Sabbath reminds us of our Savior. All right? So the Sabbath reminds us of our source. And so I say that because as we approach this passage, we might just approach it just from what we know, and we don't spend much time thinking about it. But Matthew was written to a Jewish audience. And so this audience that Matthew was writing to would know the Sabbath well. They had practiced it their entire lives. They had studied about it and heard about it on a weekly basis. And so they were steeped in it, not just hearing about it, but actually doing it. And it would change their entire week. Like they would actually stop working at a certain time on Friday, what would be our Friday evening. And then they wouldn't do any kind of work that next day. And as more and more laws got added on, it got more restrictive. It actually came to a point where it was not so much a blessing, which was the original intent, but it actually became a burden over time. And so the Sabbath reminds us of our source, because if you go back to the original concept of Sabbath, it goes all the way back to creation, all the way back to our Creator, the one who made us. And so when we say that Sabbath reminds us of our source, what I'm saying is this, is that when you and I Sabbath, when we take intentional rest, part of that should be that we are reminded of where we came from and who instituted the Sabbath and why he put it into place, and think about the original intent of that so that we can live it out and do it well, and so that we don't get sidetracked and do it for wrong reasons and legalistic reasons like the Pharisees had allowed to happen in their own lives. Genesis chapter 2 says this, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and so God had been doing his creating work, right? And all the host of them, and on the seventh day, God finished his work. So we're seeing this pattern where God worked for 6 days and rested on one day. So he had finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And so the Sabbath is a gift from God that allows us to rest, restore, delight in him. He worked for 6 days, then he stood back as the source of all he had seen. And we saw, you know, on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that he did what he did, and he stood back and he was like, that's pretty good, right? Like, he created, it was good, he said so. And on the seventh day, though, it wasn't done yet, because resting and observing and sitting in that moment was part of, or was the capstone of, creation. And so he was setting an example for you and I to follow, that just because we get work done doesn't mean that we just now on day 7 continue to work, but instead that we stop, and he's built it into the creation pattern that you and I would do this. Now, how many of you here tonight would say, I'm really good at Sabbath? Like, I excel at resting. I saw your pen go up there, buddy. So he was being humble. He doesn't want to. Okay, so we don't have any professional Sabbathers here, right? Well, that's the first step, right? Acknowledge that we're off base a little bit. And remember that part of what we're doing is when we take Sabbath rest is that we don't want to just relax, right? We don't want to just run to the things that we want to do to distract us. We're not looking for distraction. We're looking to remember. And so that's why when Moses gave the Sabbath law to the Israelites later on, he would say, remember, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And God actually here in this verse in Genesis 2 says that, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. So the idea is this, is that it's a day that's holy or set apart from the other days. On the other 6 days, we work, and work is a good thing. So we should be people who excel at work and that we honor and glorify God in the way that we work. And the Bible says that in all you do, do it to the glory of God. And so when you go to work, you should be one of the best people at your job, right? You should not definitely be going to work and everybody at your job thinks, that dude's lazy. That's definitely not a good testimony to the Lord. So we should definitely be people that work hard, but we should also be people that rest hard. I don't even know if that makes sense. But we should be good at work. And part of that is remembering the source of who we are, remembering the source of where we came from. Because God is the creator and we are not. The thing is this, is that sometimes when you and I work, we tend to think that we make either work our religion and our God, or we start to think that we are in control and that we've created all the good things that are in our lives. And when we stop and rest, we get to remember that God is the one who made everything and that we are not. And we can sit back and we can honestly do what he did, right? We can look and appreciate his handiwork and not just our own handiwork. And that is something that sets us apart from the animal kingdom. Any of you guys ever hiked up to McAfee's Knob here? Got a couple. You like to sit up there and like check out the view when you're up there? It's pretty cool. It's pretty amazing. Have you ever seen any bear up there that were just like observe, just looking for people to eat? Yeah. Yeah, you don't see like any deer, rabbit kind of just standing, checking out the view and observing like creation. Because they're animals, right? And they've been created by God, but not in the image of God. And so they don't get to stand back and observe God's handiwork in the same way that you and I do. And we can go through this life kind of with tunnel vision and forget the fact that we live in the middle of this gigantic universe on this tiny little ball that's sustained by God. He is our source. He gives us the very breath that we breathe. And so when we stop and rest, we remember and we get our bearings on the fact that this is a miracle, really, that we can even exist. And it brings health to our souls when we do that. And so Sabbath reminds us of our source, and that is God. And that's something that's good as we head into this conversation about Jesus in the grain field and at the synagogue to kind of get into that mindset of Sabbath so we can get a little bit closer to what Jewish people might be thinking as they're doing this deal. Number two, Sabbath reminds us of our sustainer. So Sabbath is really countercultural, right? In our society, it's a countercultural declaration of trust that says, I don't rest because everything is done, right? Does anybody here feel like your to-do list in your life is now completed and you could just sit here and not worry about it? If I gave you 5 minutes to put together a checklist for what's coming tomorrow, could you spend some time on that? Can I get an amen? Yeah. Don't start. You probably got a grocery list going right there, right? Our work is never going to be done. That's a trap, right, to think, if I check off a few more things on the box, that it'll be done, I'll be caught up. And rest just flies in the face of that to say that really the most important thing about you is not how much stuff you get done. but it's about how much stuff God's doing in you, how he is shaping you, your character, your soul, how he's making you more and more like his son, Jesus Christ. And that doesn't come from you working your tail off and becoming a workaholic. Instead, like the story of Mary and Martha, we remember that Mary came and sat at the feet of Jesus. And he's like, hey, Martha, there's really just one thing that's super important. And Mary's got it figured out. So take a break, right, from the kitchen and come on over. And so Sabbath reminds us of our sustainer, because we can begin to think that we are the ones that sustain ourselves. Like, yeah, we might go, okay, I get it. God is my creator. He's my source. But when it comes to surviving, that's on me. Well, that's not really true either, because, you know, you can work and work and feel like your life is secure. You got all your savings in place, all your insurance in place. But if you've been around long enough, you can realize that just one incident that you had not planned can make all of that go away. And so we realize that God is the one who sustains us. We should remember the story of the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16, when they had been delivered by God out of Egypt. They were slaves there for 400 years. God led them out of there, and right away they began to grumble and complain. And they were like, man, we're hungry. And God provides them with manna. And he says this, on the sixth day, this is after the manna has started coming, on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them. And guess what? It did not stink, and there were no worms in it, because if they gathered too much on the prior days, it would rot, because God was showing them that he wanted them, even though he had led them out of Egypt, he wants them, and he also wants us to rely on him as our provider. In fact, he builds this into our everyday life, right? Not just a once a week deal, but is there anybody here that hasn't slept for the last 3 days? No, right? Like we all in our minds, in our pride, think we're pretty self-sufficient people, but then we realize we're so dependent. We can't even go a day, or we shouldn't go a day, without sleeping. Like it's built into how we are created, is that we have to rely on God for sleep, for food. So it didn't stink. There's no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. And so, once again, Sabbath is just reminding us that he is our sustainer. He is our provider. So let's back up. We got to get better at being a people who are good at resting, not just sleeping, not just finding distractions to entertain us, but really getting better at rest and reminding and remembering in that times that God is our source. God is our provider. He's our sustainer. He's going to provide and meet my needs. And I'm not going to be self-sufficient away from him where this is all on me. And if it all fails, or if I succeed, I get the glory or I get the shame. But instead, we're going to live a lifestyle, no matter how successful we are in our work, that we give all the glory to God, because he is the one that sustains us. So the Sabbath is not legalism. You know, some people view the Sabbath as like it's, you know, gosh, why did God do this to us? I mean, God does not want us to have any fun, so he put this day on the calendar so that we would rest and that we would take it easy. But we shouldn't view it as a burden or a legalistic requirement. It's actually a way to break free from legalism and performance-based living, right? On the Sabbath, we rest from our work and trust in God's provision rather than striving to earn our worth and identity through what we do. So the Sabbath is really good for our souls. The Sabbath reminds us of our Savior. So I want to go back to our story. This is not my normal way of going through this, but you're going to be studying this in your MC this week. So let's go back to the story. The first story, Jesus is walking through the grain fields and his disciples were hungry. They were eating. It might remind you of the Israelites, you know, the 12 disciples. They got the 12 tribes in the wilderness. They're eating. And the heart of the Sabbath is that God wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to make you whole again. He wants to fill the hunger that you have in your life, both physically and spiritually. And so his disciples are doing that. And the Pharisees come against them, and he gives them just argument after argument. Like, have you not read in the law how, or have you not read that David, when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence? So he gives them just an example to say, if a human being is hungry, oftentimes that will set aside a religious, especially a man-made religious precedence, because there's really nothing more valuable on this planet than a human being that's been made in the image of God. And so that hunger needs to be satisfied. And then he also says, have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? So what's he talking about, priests profaning the Sabbath? He's just saying this, that even though it's the Sabbath day, the priests that are in the, at that point, the tabernacle, then the temple, and now the synagogue here, they worked on the Sabbath because they still had to kill two lambs every Sabbath day and do good for the people of Israel to make atonement for their sin. And so that's hard work that they were doing. And yet it was overlooked because they were doing good on the Sabbath. And so the precedence or the principle that you see is that it's okay to do good on the Sabbath. The heart of the Sabbath is for the good of mankind and not for some legalistic, you're not allowed to go out of your house, Keegan. You got to stay inside and be bored. Yeah, so all the introverts said, yes. So he says this, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So he's quoting Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, and he's saying that you Pharisees have missed the mark. You've condemned people who are guiltless for what they did because you lost sight of the fact that the Sabbath was given in a merciful and compassionate way that was for blessing. And instead, you've made it a burden for these people. And so then really through this entire thing, you see a number of times where this is not just about the principles of the Sabbath, but you're also seeing Jesus revealing his identity to the Pharisees in really a mind-blowing kind of a way. So throughout this, like right here in this verse, in verse 8, he says, for the Son of Man, which is a statement from Daniel saying that he is both divine and human. So for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So he's saying that, rightly so, that Jesus was there at creation because Jesus is God. And he was there creating, and he was there to say that the Sabbath was being put into place, and he's saying that he is Lord of the Sabbath. So for men to come along after him and to rewrite the code and try to make it a burden instead of a blessing, he's saying, hey, I'm actually the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm here with you. I'm the one that designed it. And I can tell you whether or not these guys, my disciples, eating this grain is breaking the Sabbath or not. So then you go on to the next story, and there's the guy in the temple in the synagogue with the withered hand. And he gives them this example of a sheep falling into a pit. And once again, he's saying to these Pharisees, let's be real. If you had a sheep, which to them is money, they probably didn't care about the sheep, right? They cared about their finances. And so if you had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't you lift it up out of the Sabbath? Even though it probably wouldn't die, right? You could leave it there until the next day. But no, you would take it out for its own well-being, because sheep are distressed, you know, in situations like that, they are very distressed. And so you would lift him out. How much more, and this is one of many times that Jesus compares, like in an argument from like lesser to greater, to say, you know, don't I keep my eye on the sparrow? You're worth a whole lot more than a sparrow. And then he uses an argument here of saying, hey, what if a sheep fell into a pit? You'd lift him out. How much more a human being who is hurting and in need, wouldn't you help him? And apparently what they're saying is, no, we wouldn't. But Jesus instead says, stretch out your hand. And the man does that. And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy them. And that's really where you can see the fact that Sabbath reminds us of our Savior. Because here you have a man whose hand is withered. That would indicate in this culture that he was not able to work. And so he's not able to do what he was created for, which is to do work. And then, so the resting part is an odd thing for a non-working person to go, I need rest. And he's also just simply is hurting. Because if you have a body part, or, you know, as we get older, I think we all start to feel it a little bit, right? We were talking about that just a moment ago, that stuff starts to happen. And we see our need for a Savior in the physical, right? That our bodies are hurting, and this guy's hand was hurting, and Jesus, being the Savior that he is, the Creator that he is, wants to bring this man to wholeness, to restore him. And so he does that, and the Bible says that his hand was restored, and it was just like the other one. So the Pharisees didn't like that, and they went out and conspired to destroy him, which they didn't realize is the very thing that was needing to happen. So Jesus is on the scene. He's the source of the Sabbath. He is the sustainer of the Sabbath. He provides for us. And he's also our Savior. He takes us, and here in this situation, he provides physical healing. But by his death that was going to come about, he was going to be able to provide ultimate restoration and wholeness for you and I as believers. Make sense? So the question for you and I is this, is what are we going to do about that? Like, what are we going to do as people who have already admitted that we're not good at resting? We're good at being workaholics, right? But we're not always good at resting. What are we going to do about that this week? How are we going to remember the Sabbath? So here's what I'd like to ask you to do. One of the things that we are pushing toward in microchurch life is triads, which is groups of three guys or three girls that meet together, that talk about life and what's going on in their life, that they're better known together, they encourage each other, and they hold each other accountable. And so here's what I'm going to get you to do. I'm going to ask you to answer one question in a little small 5-minute breakout time to say, hey, where are you at? All right, that's two questions. Hey, if you're kind of looking at your energy levels in life as a battery on your phone, right? Like, where are you at on that scale? Are you at 90%, 80%, 70%, 10%? Usually, unfortunately, the pattern for most of us is we wait until our battery gets down to 10 or 20% before we rest. We're like, before we're about to burn out, then it's like, okay, now I've got to take a day. That's not God's plan for Sabbath. God's plan is for us to never get that low, but to continually stay restored. So where are you at when it comes to your energy in life and you're resting in the Savior? And what is one thing that you can do this week to practice Sabbath better? Does that make sense? All right. Let me pray, then I'll give you a few more instructions. Lord, thanks for this time together. God, thank you for the rest that you provide. And Lord, let's pray that we would this week press in to be a people not only on mission to reach other people, but God, that you would show us your rest, and Lord, that we would produce fruit out of that rest. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.